When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on WSB. It is 12:09. Wow, we're running a little bit late due to the Ebola thing. I don't know about you, but I was watching the morning news shows that they referenced in the news report on Ebola and watching how people are very, very, very nervous. I was watching Fox News, and it was interesting to just kind of, you know, see Chris Wallace go, well, but what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And Britt Hume just looks like he wants to put on gloves all the time. So anyway, the nice thing that I saw from one of the CDC doctors was that they said, we know how to fix Ebola. We know how to cure it. I don't know if they can cure it on a mass scale. And if they do, we ought to export it now to Africa and get that over with. All right, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are the numbers. The lines are wide open. Talking about money and jobs, and I have to just start here, folks. Did you see the news story that Ben Bernanke tried to refinance in the last couple of weeks? The former Fed governor, chair, right? He was the head of the Fed for a long time. And resigned, I don't know, 6-9 months ago, maybe the beginning of the year, and Janet Yellen took over. So it's about 9 months ago. He went to go to refinance his mortgage, and he's refinanced a couple of times over the last, I don't know, 5 or 8 years. And I guess he wanted to refinance and take out more money and get a lower interest rate because, hey, look, mortgage interest rates super low, and they don't seem to be going up. Anyway, he goes to refinance and he gets turned down. And we know this because he was in Chicago this week and he gave a speech and he said, it's possible that the banks have gotten a little too, well, he didn't use the word insane, but I'm going to use it. The banks have gotten a little insane when it comes to qualifying somebody for refinance. So why didn't Ben Bernanke qualify? You know, it's all the same reasons that anybody else did. He's trying to take out an 80% loan, it looks like, and he's probably looking to get under 4%. The last time he refinanced it, it's public record, folks, by the way, this mortgage interest rate stuff. The last time he refinanced, he got 4.25%. You know, on a 30, maybe he was going for a 15-year loan. He could get that at 3.5%. Maybe he was going for a 30-year mortgage at a little under 4%. Whatever he was doing, he filled out the application, and Ben Bernanke, unfortunately, just recently changed jobs. And you know what? Mortgage lenders like to see that you've been in your job for a couple of years. I guess it doesn't matter that you command six figures. The guy gets over $100,000 per speech. He's got speeches stacked up, I don't even know how far back. Right? And he, you know, crazy as it is, I guess they thought his unemployment or his employment situation looked a little shaky. He's only been in his new job for 9 months. He's running, I think, he joined a consulting company. So, Ben Bernanke, that might be one reason. You know, if you have not been in your job for at least a year and preferably two, it isn't just people who are, you know, whatever, changing jobs at a lower level that are at risk of not getting approved for their loan. Apparently, Ben Bernanke is as well. And if you own your own business, they're going to want to see at least 2 years of tax returns for you, for the business, as well as, you know, if you've just taken on a, you know, moved careers. And so you used to do one thing and now you do something totally different. Even if you've been there a year, it might not be enough. So why else might Ben Bernanke not have been able to qualify? Well, aside from the job issue, which is big, maybe his debt-to-income ratios are a little off. Well, how would that be? It's not like he's got massive amounts of credit card debt, right? Well, it's possible that he does have business interests where he owns pieces of businesses, and so he gets a lot of K-1s. And that may have gotten his ratios out of whack. If one of the businesses has even a little loss, a lender might have said, you know, that could be a $1 billion loss, so we're not going to take a risk there. The other thing that might have happened is that he owns a lot of real estate. And when you own real estate, you get depreciation. Well, if you have enough real estate or enough big enough real estate and you have a low income, relatively low income, you may see the depreciation number push your true income down to nearly at zero, which if you're looking for a $685,000 loan, even at a little under 4%, it's a substantial enough monthly carry that you're going to actually need to show some real income. And Ben Bernanke didn't seem to have any real income. So I don't know. I haven't seen his tax return. But these are all reasons that people get turned down for loans. And this might be why you get turned down for loans. So Ben Bernanke's take on it was, wow, we really need to inject a little bit of common sense into the lending industry today, or we're going to end up in a situation where people who make six figures for speeches, like Ben Bernanke, who in six speeches, which could be 1 week, could just pay off the mortgage in cash with the amount of money that he makes. So I guess the rest of us are supposed to feel a little bit better about that, that none of us can go out and get loans easily because we're not Ben Bernanke. I don't know what the message is there, but at least somebody way up high got stung, somebody who was deeply responsible for what was going on with the economy he was the one in charge in 2008 when everything went to heck. So at least he's getting a little bit of a taste of what the reality is for everybody else in America. 404-872-0750. There's so much to talk about on the show today. The lines are open. We're going to take a call from Bill in just a moment. I want to talk about what happened with the unemployment rate. It dropped down to 5.9%. That may or may not be a good thing. Commodity prices are down worldwide. There's a glut of oil. We saw oil prices per barrel fall below below $90 a barrel. Hasn't been there in a really long time. The price of gold is under $1,200 an ounce. Time to go buy that jewelry for Christmas. And there's so much more to say on all that. 404-872-0750. Bill joins me on the line. Good morning, Bill. I should say good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's going on?
Well, here's my question. I'm 2 years from mandatory retirement age in my job, and the balance on my mortgage is just about exactly what I have in my 401 after taxes. So if I took the money out of the 401 and paid the taxes, there would be no penalty for early withdrawal or anything, but it'd be a wash. I think that my wife and I we disagree. I think we pay off the mortgage. She says, no, let's make the payments and let's keep the 401 in case.
Your wife is so smart. Now I understand why you married her.
Yeah. Well, here's why I disagree with her and you, unfortunately. If there's a large adjustment in the market and I lose 40 or 50% of that, I can't rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old for that. So.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the reality. So if what you owe is what's in your 401k, it's actually not equal because when you pull it all out in a big lump sum, you're going to owe 30 or more percent taxes on it. So really you need about 130 or 140% in your 401k for what you have in your mortgage.
Right.
So you aren't equal. It's not a wash. Even if you liquidate.
I'm allowing for that. I have more in the 401 than the mortgage, but
you didn't say that.
Well,
you got to tell the whole story on the show, or I can't help you.
No, I said that the balance after I pay the taxes, if I withdrew everything out of my 401 as a lump sum and paid the 25% tax that they're going to hit me with, then what's left is just about exactly my mortgage.
How much are you pulling out? How much is your mortgage?
My mortgage is 210. I have at the moment just over 250 in the 401, and I have 2 more years to put money in.
So I would still say, what's your mortgage interest rate on the loan?
4.25.
Okay, and you have how many years left to pay it off?
Oh, forever. I mean, we just moved a year ago, and so we've only been in this house a year. It's a 30-year fix.
And how much is it worth?
The house is worth $350,210.
Okay. So we're running up against a commercial break. Can you hang with me? Because I have some thoughts about what you need to do. Oh, I do need to know how old you are.
62.
All right. Stand by, Bill. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. It's 18 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It's 1224 on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB, 404-872-0750, if you want me to pay for the call, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we're talking to Bill. He's 2 years from mandatory retirement, 62 years old. He owes $210,000 on his mortgage at 4.25%. He's got $250,000 in his 401k, and he thinks that he should pay off his mortgage because if there's a dip in the market, he'll never recover. His wife thinks, no, not so much. Bill, did I get that right?
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Yeah, I was. I just recapped your whole story. Was that an accurate assessment of what we talked about?
Well, I didn't hear any of it. All I had was just the on-hold status. But basically, yeah, I'm sure you get it right. I have enough in the 401 to pay off the mortgage, 2 year to mandatory retirement. It's either pay off the mortgage and hope the house holds its value or keep the 401 and hope the market doesn't correct it.
See, Bill, you're only 62 years old, so do you have a pension?
I have a small pension. We had a corporate bankruptcy, which wiped out most of the pension.
Okay. And so, you're going to get Social Security. Your wife's going to – is she working also?
Yeah.
And when does she have to retire?
Well, she doesn't have a mandatory retirement. She's an entrepreneur. She can retire whenever she chooses.
Okay. And how's her income? Is it enough to really help out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what does she have in her 401k?
She doesn't have 401k or retirement of any sort. So.
Why doesn't she put away money in her 401k?
Because up until the bankruptcy, we were pretty much set. We were unfortunately depending on my corporate retirement, which went away suddenly.
Mm-hmm. So with your corporate, did you get, with the pension, do you have the government-sponsored pension up to up to like $66,000? Did the government pick it up?
No. You're talking about the,
Pension Benefit Guarantee
CBG,
Corporation.
Yeah, CBGC. No, we're not under that.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that is too bad for you. Your wife should be putting away the maximum that she can over the next couple of years so that she can actually have something of her own that's in her own name. I have to say I agree with her, though, even though I've heard your side of the story, and here's why. You are not dying, hopefully, when you retire in 2 years at age 64 when you retire. And you'll, even though you're worried about your money, something happening to it with a crash. It's entirely possible that we'll have another crash, but remember how quickly the market bounced back. So if you have a crash at 62 and you don't sell anything and the market, or let's say at 64 and by 67 years old, the market has entirely come back, you've still got your Social Security and your other money. You could also do a reverse mortgage and get most of your mortgage paid off. So I really think that because you probably have 20 to 30 years in retirement, your wife is right. You want to let that money grow tax deferred and not spend extra money on taxes that you don't need to. You could always take out little bits of it to make your mortgage payment, and then you don't have to pay a 30% tax. You may even fall underneath the tax status. So in my mind, you are much better off keeping your 401k intact, and you've got your wife's income as well. She should be pumping away as much as she can into a solo 401k, which I think this year is something like $50,000. Thanks so much for your call. 28 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Take me down. Take me down. It's 1236 on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We saw unemployment levels push to 5.9% in September, 248,000 job gain. They increased August, so that got a little bit of a boost as well, which was nice. Jobless rate fell from 6.1% to the lowest level since July of 2008, which was great. Unfortunately, we saw another big jump in the labor participation rate. This is the number of people who should be in the labor force, right? They should be working. They're the right age, but they have opted out. And usually they opt out because they can't find a job. So they go back to school, they stay home with their kids, they just stay home. I don't know, they go into the gray market economy, who knows what it is. But anyway, the labor participation rate is at a 36-year low. So while we're really happy that 248,000 people found jobs, that was great. Another problem with the jobs they found, unfortunately, a lot of them are part-time, not full-time. And although we saw wages go up something like 2 cents, or fell a little bit, fell maybe 2 cents, overall wages are up just 2% over the last 12 months. And Janet Yellen, who's the current Fed chair, said that there are still too many people who want jobs but cannot find them, too many people who are working part-time but would rather work full-time, and that is a significant underutilization of labor resources, and it is keeping a lid on wages. She is watching to see if we're going to have wages go up, because then it really means that people are doing better. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Chad joins me on the line from Athens. Hi, Chad.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
Is this Elise?
This is Elise Glink, and this is the Elise Glink Show, and you're on right now. What's your question?
Okay. All right. Well, I just had a, I'll try to make this quick, give you a Reader's Digest version, but about, I guess, 6 years ago, 2008, the economy went.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had a business, went broke, lost everything. 6 years later, I'm in a very good position now. I make a lot of money. I went to a small hometown bank, got a loan for a truck that I had paid cash for, just because I make so much money now, and I was able to give them the title because I had bad credit. I think it was a 580 credit score. So I gave them my title to my truck, financed the truck just for half of what I owed on it, for half of what it's worth, excuse me, and paid it off, and then later got a house with the same. So I've got good credit with my hometown bank. But I've got a 5-year note on my home. It's a balloon note, and obviously I don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. But
why did you get a balloon, Chad? Why did you get a balloon note?
That's the only way I could. They won't do a fixed 15-20 year mortgage. They would only do 4.5% for 5 years, and I couldn't get credit anywhere else. So now, I mean, they don't look at, you know, how much money I make a month. And they don't look at that I've always made timely payments. My hometown bank does, but, you know, no one else.
Well, wait a second. Isn't your hometown bank reporting your loan to the credit reporting bureaus?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, so I mean, then everybody can see it. Have you actually pulled a copy of your credit score and credit history recently?
Well, my banker did it for me about 5 or 6 months ago. My credit score was like 627. So it had moved from
627,
like
okay.
But it was 540 at least. So
it's,
I mean,
moved a lot.
It's moved a lot, and it takes a lot to make it move. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, I make a lot of money. I mean, I've probably got $100,000 in that bank, you know, and I've got $100,000 in savings. So I have, but they don't look at that. When you go borrow money, I mean, my hometown bank, I can get whatever I want there. But he's like, Chad, we don't do long-term mortgages here. I'm hoping within 5 years we can get you on with a SunTrust, someone like that. 15-year mortgage, get you on it, you know, 4.5%. But I don't know what the rates you're going to do in the next 5 years. So I'm just.
How much is your loan for?
My loan is for $190,000.
Okay.
My house is appraised at probably $257,000, $260,000.
So if you wanted to, you could probably get an FHA loan. You don't need the 20% down, but they extend the credit line.
Right.
You could wait another year or two. I don't think mortgage interest rates are going to move until about a year from now. I really thought they were all supposed to be at over 5% by now, but it's not moving. In fact, it's moving in the opposite direction. So in about another 6 months, I assume you have no credit card debt, but you have credit cards, right?
I have one credit card, and I pay it off every month, and sometimes I pay it off twice a month. So I'm doing everything I can to, but I just got denied a credit card by Visa for like $2,000 or $3,000. They said I don't have enough, agreed as paid, and my credit score wasn't high enough. So that's the same thing I get, you know, and I mean.
All right, you have to stop trying to apply for credit right now, because every time you get turned down, it just drives your credit score down.
Okay.
So just stop doing that. You have one credit card. Just use that credit card. If your hometown bank issues a credit card, you can have them issue you another credit card.
No, they didn't. I actually got this through Capital One. My banker told me, go out, get a credit card, pay it off every month, pay me off every month. And, you know, like I say, the only two loans that I have are for my car. We got a 750 BMW. I've got a fiance. We're getting married, so that's for her, and then I've got my house. That's it. I don't owe any money on anything else other than the balance on that card, and it's never over $500.
Well, so, what is your question for me?
Well, my question is, I think you already answered it. It's about my house. You know, that's the only real thing that I'm worried about. I don't want interest rates to go to 10%.
Yeah, but you have $100,000 in savings. You're making a lot of money. In two to 3 years, you'll be able to pay off that loan in cash if you really want to. It won't matter if mortgage interest rates are at 6% because you could pay it off. And even if you don't pay it off, but let's say you pay off some of it, right, you're going to be in good shape. One possible solution is to go buy a rental property, put a chunk down, have your hometown bank finance it, and now you've got two loans that you're paying off, right? And even though you've got a second loan, you're going to get the income from that property, so it's going to defray it. But you're just trying to rebuild credit. But that would be another thing that you could do. So then what lenders look at is four lines of – they would like to see four open lines of credit. So if you have if you've got two house ones, right, one is a rental, one is, you know, mortgage for your residence, and then you've got this credit card that you've got, line of credit is open, that's good enough. So you've got you'll have three lines of credit that you're actively managing. In another 2 to 3 years, your credit score is probably going to be in the 700s. Plus, if as long as your fiance has good credit, and I don't know if she does she?
I don't think she has any credit. I'm 40, she's 26, so she's a little younger than me, so she doesn't, I mean.
Well, then you should get her started if she doesn't have any. She's never borrowed money to buy a car. She's never gotten a credit card.
Right. No,
so she's known as no file. That's not good either. So you have to get her in the program as well. So maybe there's something that, you know, she can do to start working on her credit. But in any case, in another 2 years, I think your credit score is going to go up a lot further as some of these past bad things that you've had start to fall off your credit history, and you'll probably be in the upper 600s, maybe even 700. But by then, if you keep making this kind of money, you're going to be able to pay off that loan altogether in cash. So I think that's what you ought to be looking for. You ought to be, you know, thinking about building up your savings. You ought to think about stocking your retirement, and you ought to think about buying a rental property and getting another loan from your hometown bank. And even, you know, if you have to refinance, but you take your $190,000 loan and you have $150,000, let's say, in cash by the end of next year, you take $75,000 of that and pay it off, you're refinancing, even at the higher interest rate, you'll be paying less. So there's lots of good ways around it. Don't sweat it. Keep doing all the right stuff like you are. It's 12:45 on the Elyse Klink Show, 404-872-0750. Jay joins me on the line from Norcross. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm good, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, nothing much. I just had some questions in regards to retirement. I currently looked. I'm pretty young. I'm 25. And I'm making too much to contribute to a Roth IRA currently. Looking to get married soon. And we're just looking for some good options in your mind on where I could put some of that money.
So, are you married?
I'm about to be.
Oh, congratulations. Well, we've got a lot of people getting married on the show today.
Hey, you know, I guess we're up early on a Sunday. That's why, you know, we're responsible, I guess.
Right. Well, as people call me and they say, oh, I'm working today, I say, me too. So 25 is the age that I was when I got married, and I started my own business as a freelance writer when I was 23, and I started putting away money as much as I could into a self-employed 401k. So you're employed in a job, I assume. Do you have a 401k option?
I do not have a 401k option with my job. I'm a 1099 employee.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
If you're a 1099 employee, that means that you can open up a self-employed 401k.
Yes, ma'am.
You can put away up to $50,000, about $50,000 this year.
Okay.
And so that will, not only will that reduce the amount of tax you pay, which would be awesome, but it'll allow you to put away a huge chunk of money. Let me tell you something. If you're putting away $50,000 a year into a self-employed 401k, you don't need to worry about your Roth. You're 25 years old.
You rock. Yeah. And my question in regards to that is with that 401k, what are my options in taking that out? Do I have to be, do I have to wait to be 65 or 62?
You have to, you can take it out sooner, but you'll pay a 10% penalty. 59 and a half is the age that you can actually take it out. But this is really money for your future. I mean, you're talking about having, 30 years to just let that money accumulate. So let's say this is the year that you make a ton of money. And you put away $40,000.
Right.
If that money will double every 10 years if you just get a 7% rate of growth.
Okay.
So you could see in 10 years you'll have $80,000. This is if you never put another dime in. And 10 years after that, you're going to have $160,000. And 10 years after that, it's $325,000 to $350,000.
Right.
All from just putting away one chunk of cash.
That's a great option. And then, also, if you have some time, I had a financial advisor that I've been talking to a little bit. Had kind of shared some of that similar knowledge, but he also kind of said, hey, what do you think about looking into, a small amount of permanent insurance?
It's completely inappropriate for you. And if you hang on, we have to take a quick commercial break. But if you hang on, Jay, I will tell you exactly what I think of permanent insurance, particularly for somebody who's 25. And that advisor who's listening is not going to like it. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Klink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It's 12:55 on the Elise Klink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we were talking with Jay. He's 25, making six figures as a 1099, makes too much to contribute to a Roth IRA, and he didn't know what to do. And I said, look, you're a 1099. You're self-employed. That means this is the big benefit of being self-employed. You can open up a self-employed 401k. You can put away about $50,000 into that 401k, and that will allow you to reduce your income for this year, so you pay less in tax this year. And that's a big jump to go from, $100,000 a year to $50,000. That, as long as you can live on the $50,000, that's a lot less in taxes you're going to be paying. In addition to that, you are then going to have all this cash that hopefully you're going to have a diversified investment and go on forever. And then he said to me, and this really made me nervous. He said, well, what do you think of this financial advisor who told me I should buy permanent insurance? Ooh, you hit on one of my all-time least favorite investments, permanent insurance. You're 25 years old. Permanent insurance is not a great place to invest your money. This is a place where you can just pour money into a hole for some day that you may get it back, and it really doesn't do anything for you. It's really expensive. You're paying basically an insurance company to manage a mutual fund for you, so you pay double the fees. The advisor who offered to, as this is a great investment, he makes about 40 to 50% of your first year's premium as commission. That's not a great move. And even though you can have a return of premium version of this, you pay, it's just not a good investment. If you want to protect your fiance, if you want to protect your fiance, buy term insurance. It's cheap. You're so young. You could buy a 30-year fixed, $1 million policy, probably for less than $1,000 a year. You just buy that, and it's locked in for 30 years. You can pay that, and that's just something that you do to protect your loved ones. And it's there for you. It's cheap, and it'll be set. And by the time you're 55, you can decide if you, you know, are going to make a different decision or not. Or you'll ladder those policies as you start having kids, and maybe it'll 30 or you'll buy another one when you're 30, and it'll last till you're 60, whatever. But this idea that you're going to buy permanent insurance, that is an incredible waste of money and a terrible investment. Whereas taking a huge chunk of cash, whether it's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, or $50,000, and you put it away in this IRA and you let it grow with, let's just say, three quarters of it invested in an S&P 500 or a total stock market fund, index fund, so it's super cheap to own, and the rest of it in a bond fund, and you just let it go and you forget about it, and every year that you're a 1099, you continue to throw money in it. There, I guarantee that when you retire, you're going to have a nice chunk of change that you and your wife can use to augment your retirement and do whatever. But if you're already 25 and making six figures, that is really the best thing that you want to do. This idea that you're just going to go buy permanent insurance, big, fat, no. At least that's how I feel about it. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the unemployment rate and what happened there, the hiring surge. I want to talk about mortgage interest rates and some things that you should be thinking about with regard to the economy. So we'll talk about all that. We'll take your calls at 404-872-0750. I will be answering questions on Twitter in the meantime. This is the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we're having lots of conversations at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K on Twitter, so you can follow me there as well. Before we go back to the phones, which I'll do in just a moment, I wanted to talk about the show that I'm taping that you may have seen in my Twitter feed, Big Money Real Estate. And we're doing it for WIT Nation, which is a brand new network. WIT Nation is the Whatever It Takes network. Grant Cardone, who's a New York Times best-selling sales guru genius guy, has put together an impressive lineup of talent. And so tomorrow afternoon, we're taping our first show. And I had put the word out that if anybody wanted to ask a question on Skype and have a real conversation with me on Skype, you could do so in tomorrow afternoon. And so if you're interested, I want to open that up on Twitter. Just tweet me that you're interested in being on the show and you want to ask a question via Skype. That's great. You can also ask a question via YouTube and just sort of ask your question, or I think we could probably, well, Vine's probably a little too short at 6 seconds, but Vimeo, or if you just want to tape yourself on your phone and email it, you can. Just tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see a whole bunch of ads for the Whatever It Takes networks and my new show, Big Money Real Estate, which, by the way, is its own hashtag. Big Money Real Estate is the hashtag. And if you just search that, it'll pop up as well. So what am I doing on this show? This show is kind of like the show that I do every Sunday, where I'm answering questions and I'm helping you figure out how to rebuild your financial lives. But we're doing it with a real emphasis on real estate, investing in real estate. So this is like my intentional investor, how to be wildly successful in real estate series. and turning it into live video where we're going to introduce you to some of the most successful investors around the country. You'll get to hear their success stories. We're also going to be giving you some tips and tricks and showing you some of the ways that people are making money in real estate. I'll be answering your questions that you have about your investment property and trying to give you some guidance as to what you might want to do or not do. So that's what big money real estate is all about. It's solving problems. It's getting you to black in terms of the profitability on your projects and helping you think it through. Now, we're going to talk a lot about residential property, but we're also going to talk about commercial, industrial, warehouse developments. And what's nice for me is just seeing what's going on out there with you. So in addition to that, we're also going to do this what can you buy for thing. So if you follow me on CBS News, you know that for my Money Watch column, we've now reduced that to four times a week. Once a weekend, we do it a CBS News Money Watch slideshow, and sometimes we do something called What Can You Buy For? And so this week on the Big Money Real Estate Show, we're going to be doing What Can You Buy For? I think the price point is $27,500 across the country. And I've had my team looking at deals all across the place, and it's just really fun and interesting. So if you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you're interested in asking a question and being a guest on the show via Skype, tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, hashtag Big Money Real Estate, or you can always send me questions at questions@thinklink.com, and we'll be happy to answer them. And then you have to sign up at witnation.com to be part of the initial group that'll get access to all the different programs. So there's some great stuff out there, some amazing talent. Grant Cardone turned down a cable show television opportunity to start up Wit Nation, and I really think it was a great way to go, and I hope you'll watch it. So as soon as we're ready with the first show, which will probably be in about another 2 weeks, we're taping tomorrow, and then I think we're going to go into edit and work on some things. The goal is to eventually get the show near live or live, which would be fantastic. But right now we're going to tape them and then re-air and air them later. So witnation.com, Big Money Real Estate, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, let's go back to the phones. Roger joins me on the line. Hey, Roger, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Sure, what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to ask a question about 401k. I have about $170,000. Just if they're sitting there, I would like to find out what would be the best thing to do with it as far as just making it available anytime type deal.
So you've got $170,000 just sitting in cash, or you've got it invested in something?
No, because we have invested in the mutual funds, and we just took this money out so that we would just, whatever we want to need, we just contact probably, not to put it in my mutual funds or anything, but just keep it available to be available. But at the same time, it's not earning anything. So I just thought if there was anything that we can at least, whatever minimum we can make interest-wise or high yield, I don't know what would be the, that's the question.
What's the total amount in your 401k?
Total amount would be about $600,000.
Okay, and so this is about 25%?
Yes, roughly, yes.
And the rest of the money is invested in sort of
mutual
funds. So in a 401k, you're limited to investing in whatever mutual funds they offer. So what you have to do is sort of earn your diversification by picking a mutual fund that maybe is concentrated in one thing or another. Now, right now, small cap funds are experiencing an official correction, for example.
Uh-huh.
So small cap funds are down about 10% this week. They took a real hit. Looks like they're going down a little bit further. This might be a terrific time for you to put some of that money into an index fund or whatever they offer, a mutual fund that's small cap or organized towards small cap. You have to look and see what funds are offered. Usually it's anywhere from 20 to 30 different mutual funds. And you ought to be able to say, okay, I'm going to take $50,000 or $100,000. I'm going to put it into small cap funds.
Our thought was that we did not want to put it in any kind of funds or anything. Just keep it kind of liquid at the same time, trying to see if we can really get any returns.
Well, there's nothing. There's nothing that you can do because you'll be charged. You'll actually lose money because in a 401k, when it's in cash, not only is that not paying anything, but you're usually getting charged something for just keeping it in cash. So you're actually not making money, and you're probably losing money on that money, and there's nothing I can tell you to do with it other than change the investment around. You can't take it out or you're going to pay taxes on it. So, you know, take that money and invest it, and what you ought to do is balance the 401k investments in other parts of your life.
Okay.
So, other investments, do you have other investments outside the 401k?
No, basically the 401k.
And do you have cash, like an emergency fund?
Well, that's the thing. That's what we were just thinking. The emergency fund, yes, but I have like $20,000 kept as an emergency fund.
Okay. So take your $170,000 and plug it back into your funds and maybe do a small cap fund with some of it. See what your other options are.
Okay.
And then plug it in there. And then I would work on, as long as you've maxed out that 401k, are you eligible for a Roth IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old, so.
Are you still working?
I'm not working anymore, no.
Okay. So now you've changed the story a little bit. So have you taken the money, the $600,000 that was in the 401k, have you left it in the 401k?
Yes.
Okay. You could take some or maybe all of that money and roll it into a self-directed IRA.
Okay.
Once it's in the IRA, then you can invest it in individual stocks. You can replicate your 401k money. There's lots of other things that you can do, but you want to do a trustee-to-trustee transfer so you don't pay taxes on it and roll it out. The only reason you would do that is if you're unhappy or with what's the investment strategy that's going on in the 401k. If you roll the money into an IRA, then you can make different kinds of investments with it. And if you wanted to leave it in cash, you could. But you still won't earn anything on cash. There's no cash money that's being made. So then you have to decide, you know, where you're going to roll it into and what you're going to invest it in. Now, it sounds to me if you're retired and you're 70, you probably don't need this money.
No, that's correct.
Okay. So you have enough money either with a pension or Social Security, you and your spouse?
Yes.
Okay. So then this is money that's for the future.
Yes.
And what I would do is, because it's future money, I would leave it, in a well-diversified stock, bond, and international stock mix.
Okay.
And either if it's doing well where it is, you could do that and just move it around a little bit or roll it over into an IRA, maybe at Vanguard, maybe at Fidelity. You want index mutual funds. And then you can play around with the mix. But I would do some sort of international fund, some sort of big total stock market fund, and some sort of bond fund. And because you're 70 and you don't really need it and you're leaving it for the future, what you may want to do is do 50-60% of it in the total stock market and international stock market and the rest of it in bonds and just forget about it.
Okay. Just a quick question about the 7% or something you said, like your money doubles in almost 7 years.
So the rule of 72, which is well known, is your money doubles. So it's the multiplication of 72. So if you get an 8% return, every 9 years your money will double. If you get a 7% return, it doubles in roughly 10 years.
I see.
But just divide 72 by any number, and then your money will double in whatever that other integer is.
Okay, but again, there's no guarantee any place anyway.
There is no guarantee ever. And whatever happens, you'll always have to pay taxes.
Okay. Well, thank you for your advice.
You're very welcome. Good luck with your investments. Thanks for calling the show. 18 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Gling Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, and taking your questions at 404-872-0750 on WSB.
Elyse Gling, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Rebuilding America One House at a Time, starting with yours.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elyse Gling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time. Let's do our weekend prize pack. This weekend's McDonald's WSB weekend prize pack includes a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the first annual North Atlanta Home Show. First annual fall North Atlanta Home Show. October 10th through the 12th this week at the Gwinnett Center. And a family 4-pack of tickets to the Great Georgia Air Show, October 11th and 12th at Falcon Field in Peachtree City and Imagiano's $25 gift card. Prize pack value $165. We'll give it away to our fifth caller at the prize pack line, 404-741-0750, and good luck to you. All right, let's go back to the phones, 404-872-0750. James joins me on the line from Stockbridge. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on in your world?
Just want to say, first of all, love your program.
Thank
it's the
you.
Best thing on the weekend.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
I love people that get that not only do good, but they give back.
Thanks.
My question has actually changed from what I called in with as I was listening to it and thinking. My wife is about to retire. She's a school teacher who started late in life, got her bachelor at North Georgia, went to Emory, got her master's, and then she got her doctorate at Sarasota University.
Fabulous.
And but in the process, accrued a pretty good size bill, especially for the doctorate. And but she's to the point now she can consider retiring, and we were looking for ways to a path to work out something on her student bill. Any good advice you might give for us refinancing or somebody that we can work out a good program with that?
It's really impossible to do that. How much does she owe, and how much time is left on the bill?
It was originally $80,000. I think we got it paid down to almost $60,000 now. But still another $60,000. So.
I'm so surprised that she actually has a bill for the PhD. But one thing that she may want to do is she may want to consider tutoring as a way to continue paying down those bills in retirement without doing that much work.
Right.
People are paying really significant money for tutors. They're paying anywhere from $50 to $200 an hour. For their children to get tutored, and having a PhD is a wonderful way to do that.
Right.
You can imagine how very quickly that would translate into real money that you'd be able to apply to pay down that loan.
Right.
And I think she may want to do it. I have found that banks are very unwilling to refinance student loans, even though they should. But you can check out a couple of different places to see if they will refinance those. It would be nice to get rid of it for sure. And so then a last resort would be, if you're not really making much money in the 401k, to translate that into paying it off. Also hoping that she's got, some sort of teacher retirement coming her way, and that's going to help as well to just continue to pay it down. But I think she ought to consider doing a little bit of tutoring in retirement and just finish it that way if you can't get it refinanced. James, thank you so much for your nice words about the show. I appreciate it. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It's 36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. James asked the question of what his bride, they are now retiring, what his bride can do to pay off her student loans or refinance her student loans. She has still about $60,000 in debt, and, because she started out late in life and she'd love to work it out. So I went online during the break and I found studentloanhero.com. And they have a story that I've tweeted out the link to called The 6 Best Banks to Refinance and Consolidate Student Loans in 2014. And most banks require a minimum of a 640 FICO score, a 45% maximum monthly debt-to-income ratio, and a minimum monthly gross income of $2,000. If you're still in school, you've got to have a college degree, etc. So I took a look at some of these loans, and there are some lenders like Wells Fargo that claim to do refinancing of student loans. What I should have mentioned to James is that, and we kind of ran out of time for this, the very best thing you might be able to do is do either a cash-out refinance on your home loan or a home equity line of credit loan for 5 years and get that interest rate down even further if the interest rate is higher. The loan places that they're recommending, some of them will or will not be helpful, I think, for refinancing student loans. But this is going to become an even bigger problem. I mean, student loan debt is a $1 trillion problem in our economy, and people are not able to afford to repay them. And so I think we're going to see some federal help. Frankly, I think the federal government should be refinancing all student loans at about 4%, no matter what, if you're employed. And James, that's the big thing. You should try and get this done while you're still employed, before you retire. But, and before your wife retires, and more to the point. So they recommend, SoFi, Social Finance. That's one place. There's a Charter One Bank, which I would, you know, they have an education refinance loan with a 15 or 20 year repayment. I think I would be very cautious about that, but that's another one. If you were an MBA, law, medical, engineering graduate degree program, there's something called Common Bond. That's a possibility. You could consolidate the loans. There's another company called Education Success Loans. These are a lot of private refinances, but from the big banks, Wells Fargo looked like it might be open to it. There's just not a lot of great options. Not a lot of great options. But it's interesting to just go out there and see what's out there and start talking to people, and maybe you'll find some help with that. 404-872-0750. It is 39 minutes past the hour. Pat joins me on the line from Suwanee. Hi, Pat.
Yes.
Pat, thank you. Turn down your radio, and thank you for joining me. I'm Elise Glink. Welcome to the program.
I'm sorry. I had trouble hearing you.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Did you turn down your radio?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your question?
Yes. My husband and I are small business owners, and my husband, he lost his job about 4 years ago, and then we decided to open our own business. And we just turned 62 this year. And I'm wondering if we should take our Social Security, or one of us or both of us should, or just wait.
And why would you do that? Are you making enough money to live on right now?
I'm sorry, you're really breaking up. I cannot hear you.
All right, Pat. Well, I hear you fine, and since I'm on the radio, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. So here's the question, as I think you are asking it. You're 62 years old. Should you and your husband take Social Security? If you can afford to live on what you're making, the answer is no, because every year that you delay taking Social Security up until your full Social Security retirement age, which for you is probably 67, will add a significant amount to the amount that you ultimately get. If you can't afford your life now and you're at risk of going into default, then one of you, yes, the person who earns the most should probably take it. But if I were you, I would delay taking Social Security absolutely as long as you possibly can. Because if you do that, you're just going to have that much more money for the rest of your lives, which hopefully will be long. 404-872-0750. Jackie joins me on the line. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. How can I help today?
Yes, ma'am. I keep receiving, getting eligible notification from Embrace Home Loans. And they say I was got my full name and said that I was eligible for $417,000 loan. It's consolidation loan. But I don't know these people, and I don't know how they got my address, and I looked at their address, and it says Long Island.
Okay, so Jackie, this is a pitch notice. This is, you know, $417,000 is the amount of a conventional loan. Above that, it's a jumbo loan.
It's a consolidation.
Uh-huh, and do you have lots of debt?
Huh?
Do you have?
No, I'm not in no debt.
Do you have a mortgage?
No, my house is paid for.
So then you don't need a consolidation loan.
Right.
They're trying to get you to take out a loan.
Oh.
That's all that is. You should rip that up and throw it away and not pay another mind to it. If you don't need a loan, you should never take out a loan.
Okay.
These people are just trying to get you to borrow money that you don't need.
Okay. Because I was looking to see if I find something like you know, for a home improvement, but not nowhere near that high. You know, just to do a little improvement around my house.
If you need a home improvement loan, mm-hmm. what you really would want is a home equity loan. And the only place that you would want to go is to one of the big banks.
Okay.
Or a regional bank like BB&T.
Okay.
Or Community Bank of Georgia, some very well-known entity.
Okay.
Do you work?
No, I'm disabled.
So you get disability?
Yes.
So it would be extremely difficult for you to qualify for any sort of loan other than with one with a huge high interest rate.
Okay.
So you will have a very tough time on your disability, but maybe if you needed a small amount of cash, you might be able to get it. But then how would you pay it back if all you have is your disability?
Yeah.
You don't want to borrow money that you don't need.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 62.
So you're just old enough for a reverse mortgage. Now, this is the other thing you're going to start getting pamphlets about. Basically, they'll offer to give you money, and you don't have to pay any of it back until you sell the house and move from it.
Mm-hmm.
What this will do, and that is really true, but what this will do is eat up all of your equity.
Yeah.
So what you might be better off doing is selling your house
mm-hmm.
and moving to something that's more affordable that you don't have to worry about fixing up, like a rental, and then you'll have the money from the equity of your house to be able to help you live.
Okay, but that was another thought of mine too. But it's a lot of people that was saying they was home investors.
Yes,
and I ran into a few that was kind of like that were not good. So that just got.
Do you have a sign on top of your house that says I'm eligible? Come take
no,
me.
No, it's a lot of folks have been coming around the neighborhood and they've been leaving the you know those posted signs close
yeah.
by the neighborhood. And
yeah.
you drive by, you see them, and then they've been coming and they've been leaving flyers and stuff on your tacked on the mailbox.
Some of those are legitimate. A lot of them are not. But you should, if there is interest in your neighborhood, and investors are poking around,
mm-hmm.
that's an opportunity for you. Do you have a lot of foreclosures in your neighborhood?
It was. As a lot of them bought the houses here.
Okay. And so are
mine. I think I'm the only one that's left itself about two more.
Okay.
That they hadn't bought. But I didn't want, they asked them such a very, very, very low price. So I was going to try to see if I fix the house up just a little bit to get the price that I want, just a little higher than what they were asking.
What are they offering?
$30,000.
It's pretty low. And what do you think you have to do to your house?
I wanted to get the porch fixed. I wanted to get a few other things done to make it look a little bit more attractive because when I got it, it was a hood home.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make it just a little bit more attractive to get a little bit more than what they were offering.
And if you think you fix the porch and do these other things, what money do you think you'll get for the house?
I want it to get like
$45,000.
Mm-hmm.
And is that supported by any recent sales in the neighborhood?
Most of these houses have been renovated now.
Uh-huh.
So I guess their value is up more than that. But, you know, they said they looked at the houses that was some had sold for 42, some
mm-hmm.
had sold for about, I guess they got some for 30 or 27 before they renovate them.
Yeah.
And mine was the only one left, so.
You won't get, I got to tell you, Jackie, you will not get $45,000 simply by fixing your porch.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Even if you paint the whole interior,
mm-hmm.
you would have to redo the bathrooms, at least upgrade them.
Okay.
In the kitchen.
Bathrooms is upgraded.
How are they upgraded?
They was already upgraded when I got the house.
How long have you owned the house?
About 5.5 years. It's been with like a little hood home.
Uh-huh.
And whoever had it, they called themselves doing some renovation, but they didn't finish.
So here's what you need to do. I would look around at who's selling these houses, if there are any realtors in the area. And I would have them come to your house, and I would have them tell you to have three or four of them come in from different companies, if
okay.
you can, and say to them, I'm thinking about selling my house. How much money do you think I could get for it as is?
Okay.
And how much money do you think I could get for it if I fix it up, and what do you think I should do to it?
Okay.
And then let's see. The other possibility for you is just to continue to own your home and rent it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these investors are probably buying these houses cheap, and then they're putting in people at $600 or $800 a month to rent them, which will more than pay the costs and all the rest. And so that's a possibility for you. You could go live somewhere else, and you could rent out this house. But I really would be very, you know, I would wonder if you could actually get $45,000 after you fixed it up. I mean, maybe you could. I would hope that you can. But somehow, I just don't know. It seems that like that's a pretty big leap. But if you stay in this house another 5 years, you will get $45,000 for it, even if you don't fix the porch. Because that seems to be the way things are going in that neighborhood, which is all good for you long term. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on News 95.5 and AM 750. WSB.
It's 55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Don't forget to stop by thinklinkstore.com. Thinklinkstore.com. And check out our ebooks in the Intentional Investor Series. Ron joins me on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Okay. Real quick, I'm 66. No 401, any of that. I was in forced retirement at 62, so I've grown just about all of that. I am on Social Security now. And I've been fortunate enough to land a job starting within the next couple of weeks that will pay me about $125 a year.
Great.
So the question is, what's a good path forward for that?
Well, you're staking Social Security, and it's too late to roll it back. Have you been taking it for how long?
I've actually been taking it I've only taken Social Security for about 2 years.
Yeah. You would have to repay all of Social Security to kind of roll that back, and I don't think that's worthwhile. So just continue to take Social Security. You should put as much as you can into the company 401k if you're eligible. Being over 50, you may have some additional eligibility. Are you married?
Yes.
You are eligible for a Roth IRA, and I would pump as much as you can into that for you and your wife. That may be enough, by the way. I mean, you can put away $6,000 for you and $6,000 for your wife, so that's $12,000. So that would be awesome to put that away for however long you can keep this job.
Okay.
And make as many, keep pumping as much as you can away. If you've been living off of Social Security and now you're going to get this extra $125,000 a year, maybe you can put almost all of it away or make sure you pay down as much debt as you can, so that you're in the very best shape possible when you do finally retire, which may not be for a while.
Right. Well, I'd like to do at least another 5, maybe 6 years. And, you know, the goal was to pay everything off as long as this job lasts. And, yeah, so it sounds like we're on the same path forward there.
Yeah, I would just put away absolutely as much as you can. You'll end up paying taxes on the Social Security, but it doesn't matter because now you're going to be contributing back into Social Security, which is fine. And that's good. I mean, just put as much away as you can, because the truth is you want to be in a place where, I mean, you're in a job that's paying a great amount of money. This is such an opportunity for you over the next 5-6 years to earn another $500,000-$600,000, get your home loan paid down, pump money away into a Roth IRA so it gives you a little bit more options, treat yourself and your spouse, make sure that your health costs are covered. I mean, it's just a wonderful opportunity for you. It's a real gift, especially after your forced retirement. So hopefully it goes well. Hopefully the job lasts. And it sounds to me like you're on track to make the most of it. Thanks so much for your call. Well, it is 58 minutes past the hour, and the music is playing, and that means that we are almost out of time. Next week, I have a very important interview for any of you who are still having trouble making your mortgage payments. We're going to have somebody on the show from the Home Safe Georgia Plan. That is a place for people who are having trouble making their loan payments, who can get help. We'll have all of that next week. And paying off my Carathon pledges. Can't wait to meet everybody this week. at WSB. Have a wonderful week, everybody.